the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. I am so happy that it's going to be Thanksgiving, where the rest of the world can catch up with Thanksgiving. We've been Thanksgiving since the day I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I love this holiday, but I'm so saddened in my spirit that folks don't really understand that this is, they can have this feeling every single day of the year. If you will just submit yourself to the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, it is His good pleasure to do wonderful things for His people. And if you're here tonight and you don't know what it means to become one of His people, we are here tonight to let you know we can lead the way. We can show you the path. Praise God. Hallelujah. One grandpa story. About 3 weeks ago, my granddaughter came and she said, "Grandpa, would you play with me downstairs?" Well, yeah, that's no big deal. So we get there and she's got all, she says, she lays all this stuff out and she puts it on the floor. I said, "Well, Grandpa would rather have it on the table." She says, "No, Grandpa, we must do it on the floor." And I thought, this is not going to be good. So I said, okay, because I love my granddaughter, I go down on the floor. And as I got down there, I got thinking, how in the world am I going to get back up? I've had a little trouble with my knees. But she just gave me the energy because she said to me while we're down there, she looked up, she said, "Grandpa, I just love playing with you." Ooh. I stood up and just got all kind of energy, and it only lasted about 12 seconds, but it was a lot of fun. Praise God. So we're entering into the holiday season. I love all the holidays, especially my birthday, but the reality of what we do and how we live and all that, it really doesn't take away anything from me, because I'm going to celebrate and eat my turkey and do all those things, but I really, really believe that we are in the last days, and if there was ever a time that we need to put everything else aside, I think today is the day. Praise God. I have read through the book of Acts many, many, many times, and I'm sure most of you have as well. Yet I had missed two words in the first chapter, verse number 4, and I want to share this thought with you. Acts 1:4, the Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me." And then Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." As many times as I had read that verse, I had never looked at the "commanded them." The Bible says that that could be interpreted, he charged them, was like a military command. It wasn't an optional thing. If you want to be endued with power from on high, you have got to go to the upper room. There's no shortcuts. I don't care what your plans are. You've got to go to the upper room. And I believe that stands today when we are seeking what our pastor's been preaching to us over the last several years, that we're cleaning out the inside of our cup. But I believe with all my heart that with all of the things that we've been asked to do, the main key to all of everything we want to accomplish here in the city of Madison, it'll start in the upper room. Your upper room, where you get in there and you close the door and you decide that I'm not getting out of this room until I get my answer. I don't care what it takes. If I don't get it today, I'm coming back in tomorrow. Now, the Bible says to pray without ceasing, and I believe that. And I don't believe that means we necessarily stay in the upper room, but I think the mentality of being focused on the upper room, the fact that this is where you're going to receive power, Many of you are facing situations that are insurmountable when you look at the world's answer to your problems. But if you go to the upper room, God always has a solution for our problems. The one who said, "Let there be light," the one who spoke the universe into existence, trust me, he has an answer. Praise God. And it's found in the upper room. You won't find it in a book. You won't find it in even counsel, which I believe in counsel, the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. But all of our wisdom and all of our goodness and all of our good ideas doesn't take our problems away. It takes a supernatural move of the Most High God. If you're looking for direction in your life, if you're looking for anything that takes a supernatural guidance, you need to be in the upper room. Praise God. Jesus commanded over 500 people to go to the upper room. 500 people had an opportunity to witness the greatest event in the history of the church. The greatest event. 380 of them had other things to do. Well, you can't expect me to just go up there and pray till... How long do I have to pray? How many weeks? Are you talking a couple days, a week, 2 weeks? Hey, I've got a job. I can't just leave everything and go to a prayer meeting. Why not? Hey, if you've got a problem or situation in your life, you need to find a place in that is your upper room and stay there. Stay there. Pray without ceasing. Until you get the answer. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. How long do I do that? You keep on knocking, you keep on asking, and you keep on seeking until God provides an answer. Too many times we quit asking, quit seeking, quit. We lose heart. Every time I say heart, I look right at Brother Hart and I think, now wait a minute. He's still with us. You follow what I'm saying. You have to be focused, and you have to believe the promises of God. They don't agree with the world. They don't agree with the system of the world. And if you told a doctor who just told you that you're dying of cancer, and you said, "Well, that's your opinion, but I shall not die. I shall live." Hallelujah! You do not have the power over life and death. My God has that power. Hallelujah! Praise God. So there are 120 people. Came to that upper room. They came not knowing who was going to take care of their dog. They came there and not knowing they're going to lose their 2-week vacation if they go up there. They went up there because Jesus Christ had commanded them to go. If you love him, the Bible says, you shall keep his commandments. Isn't that great? To see, we don't have to have a degree in psychology or we don't have to have a degree in divinity. All we have to do is seek out the commandments of the Lord. And our pastor does a tremendous job giving us the information we need to make heaven our home. And everybody said, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 So the apostolic church was born in a prayer meeting with about 120 men and women. Now, they went up there. They didn't have an agenda. They didn't have a game plan. They didn't have a book that says, this prayer meeting, this is how you conduct it. They just went up there. They had a hungry heart. They wanted to know what it meant to be endued with power from upon high. I do not believe that they understood what was going to happen. I believe it was a mystery to them. Christ in them, the hope of glory. When they received it, then God gave them the revelation. But before the revelation came, they had to be willing to go to the upper room. And this is the way it is in life. We have to go. We have to get out of the building and do what God has commanded us to do. So the Lord's last and his most powerful command was he charged them. He commanded them to go. Praise God. Acts 1 and 14, the Bible says this, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So why did they do it? Because Jesus commanded. I'd like to ask you a question. If Jesus commanded you to go to a prayer meeting, would you go? All right. Well, guess what? He did command you to go to a prayer meeting. He's already given the order. When our pastor stands up there and pleads with people to go to a prayer meeting, it's not because it's a commandment of the Lord. He's just following and being obedient to the word of the Lord. Every decision you make should be filtered through God's Holy Spirit. Everything that you want to do in your life, you should make double sure that you have already received the information you need in the upper room to confirm your thoughts, because the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's evil. It won't give you any good information. So you have to have a guide from the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I believe right now that God is calling Calvary Gospel Church to another dimension of ministry. We moved into this dimension when our pastor gave us the vision of 20,000 souls. Bishop Grant gave us this vision. And our pastor then gave us a plan to take this gospel to the highways and to the byways. And I believe when that decision was made, I truly believe with all my heart that God gave him a plan for 25 churches in the Dane County area. 500,000 souls are at stake. Praise God. It seems like an insurmountable task, but you know what happened today at 5:45? Our very own Christina Nikielski was on television. Praise God. And she had a wonderful interview. We didn't even ask for this interview. They heard about us. And would you believe that they gave her an interview at 5:45 and then one at 6:15? Praise God. And when that interview went forth, within minutes, because there was a telephone number, Mark Nikielski's phone began to ring off the hook. People were calling, volunteering. People were saying, oh, my God, how nice this is. I don't have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with. Woo! You talk about an opportunity. We're not only going to give them turkey, we're going to give them gospel turkey. I say gospel turkey. Feed your body and feed your soul. But we're anticipating tons and tons of people. These are people who called and said, look, I want to help. What can I do to help? So we're going to have ushers here. We're going to have, I say ushers, we're going to assign people various assignments and have them well stationed. We're going to have tracks. We're going to have all the ministries that we do at Calvary Gospel Church. Oh, by the way, if you hear about our CIP program, oh, by the way, we have the most dynamic Sunday school program ever. My point is, we didn't ask for this, but suddenly God's favor, it's been on our church for some time. But there's another dimension. There's always another dimension for everything we do, praise God. And I'm so excited about this because I'm still alive and I'm going to receive whatever God has for Calvary Gospel Church. Praise God. And everything that we're doing is still dependent upon our own personal upper room. We need revival. Not just when we say we're going to have revival. You need to point to yourself and say, I am revival. I am so excited about serving God. I'm so excited about living in this dimension. I love this church. I love my pastor. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to the point where I become contagious. We have any contagious Christians here? Are you so happy you can't stand it in the morning? I know my wife can't stand me sometimes in the morning. Because I wake up and I'm cruising. I love waking up. I've never not woken up. So I don't know. I'm sure it will be all right if I go to heaven. But think about it. We will, by the grace of God, someday, if we stay in our upper room and continue to pray and seek the Lord, we will be translated from this world to the next. We're going to be standing in the presence of the Almighty God. So take all your cares and all your problems and all your situations. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do it in the upper room. God will take care of all your need according to his riches in glory. As you page through this book, the owner's manual, everything you need is there. And then some. God has already promised to do things for you and I that are unbelievable. We don't need a college education. We don't need some of the things that the world's striving for. We don't need a rich uncle, although I wouldn't mind one. I think I have a rich daddy who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And it's God who gives us wealth. Praise God. So if you're here tonight and you're wondering, my situation is insurmountable. I don't know what to do. Have any of you ever been pancaked? You turn around the corner and bam, you just, something happens that you had no earthly idea, and I don't care what it is, but it knocked the faith right out of you. Just whack. You think, whoa, what was that? And then you start going into a nosedive and your plane is spinning out of control. And the very thing that will keep your plane up in the air, you forget about that. You try to fix everything. You try to get this whole thing back together and you can't do it. Go to the upper room for your finances. Go to the upper room for your joy. Go to the upper room for the wonderful promises of God. It is God's desire to give you good gifts. I want everything God has for me and my family. I don't want any more. I don't want any less. But I don't want the devil sticking his filthy hand in my life and stealing something from me that is not his. He has not the right to do some of the things he's doing to some of you. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. The book of Acts is really taking the power of this gospel out of the building. Jesus told us that we are the temple of God. Do you ever think about that? We are the temple. Well, Paul wrote it, but Jesus gave him the instruction. We are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. I don't feel that all the time. I don't feel that vibrant, pulsating life that's in me, unless I go to the upper room. Until I get recharged, I get plugged back in to what's real in this life. It's not about your job, it's not about your finances, it's not about your home, it's about God and what you can do for him and how you can serve him. You'll never be happy unless you are plugged into the apostolic power, unless you know exactly what God wants you to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise. He has a plan already for you. He doesn't have to draw one up. It's always your move. No matter what's going on, he knows exactly what he's going to do, but you have to move. You have to do something. You have to present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You can't sit around and wait for God to give you a job. You got to get out there and pound some doors. You can't wait until God gives you a husband. You got to... No, wait. Is Kirby here? All right. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll tell you what, he's going to have to do some serious talking to get her out of this church. We've already had a staff meeting. She's staying. Period. Is that right, Pastor? Well, I'm just quoting what you said. Too much information. This will probably be the last staff meeting they ever asked me to. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, the thing that's hard to remind ourselves is that because we are the temple of God, everywhere we go, the temple goes. Jesus Christ is right there with us. And he's constantly seeking to save that which is lost. But if we're not plugged in, if we have not made our way to the upper room every day, we will not be aware of the people around us. We'll look at people like trees. We'll just walk right by them and not even understand that there's a living soul right here. And I never prayed for them. I never shed a tear. Praise God. But he's seeking laborers who are willing to go into the harvest field. He's looking for those who are willing to stand in the gap. We are standing in the gap between heaven and hell, and God is depending upon this church, to lead the charge. 500,000 souls are at stake, and I have got to get myself in a position to do everything that God's called me to do. Is anybody with me here? Praise God. We must be willing to go boldly into the throne room. We must lay our petitions down based upon the word of God. We have come here today, Lord. We're declaring victory over the enemy. We are binding every devil in this city in the name of Jesus Christ. We're living this. We're going to make a difference in this community. Listen, if we start making a difference in our own heart, this will become a little kingdom of God that will, everywhere you go, people will be drawn to you. If people aren't coming to you and asking you what's different about you, you probably need to get to the upper room and see if you could smile a while and give your face a rest. Listen, you've got to be able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to be a living witness. Pastor preached the other day about being the light of the world. We're not talking about a black light here. We're talking about a light that people will be drawn to you. When you are plugged into the apostolic power, you'll have more Bible studies than you can teach. You'll have more people calling you. Why is that? Because you're plugged into the Almighty God. He knows who these people are. You don't. We sometimes judge who's going to receive this and who's not going to receive it. Just keep casting out your seed. Just keep smiling. Just keep looking for good things to do for people. Be kind to people. Be nice to people. That includes waitresses with bad service. That includes the traffic officer who just pulled you over for speeding 21 miles over the speed limit. All these things. We have to maintain a good attitude, praise God. You know, as we move closer to God in our upper room, something begins to break. It's all of the things that are trapped in our heart. Those things that God begins to reveal to us, because he's looking for people who are willing to pursue it further than three services a week and a tithe payer and a person working in the Sunday school. He wants to get down to where you live. He wants to show you what's keeping you from going to the next dimension. Anybody have one of those days? Well, you wonder. Sometimes I wonder if I'm even a Christian with some of the thoughts that go through my mind. But then I remember it's just the fiery dart of the wicked one. So I'm going to quench that with a shield of faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, if we're really in tune with this, you get moved with compassion. What does that mean? That means that tears will begin to flow down your face when you think of your mother, your father, your sister, your brothers, those people in your life that you desperately want to see saved. But are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to stay in the upper room until grandma's saved, or grandpa saved, or mother saved, or dad saved? There's nothing impossible for God. That's the beauty of this thing. I'm an entrepreneur, and I've always thought that I didn't make any difference. I failed in business three times, and I thought, this is no problem. It's got to be good the fourth time. I never thought I was going to stop being a self-employed business person. I just figured that I'm going to do it better next time because I learned a bunch of mistakes that I did. You cannot spend more money than you take in. That's a prerequisite to economics. If you're having financial troubles, you don't have to go to the class that we, what is that called? Financial peace. Simply put, don't spend more than you make. And you'll be out of debt in no time. Everybody said amen. It's truth. Hallelujah. So, I believe right here that Calvary Gospel Church is the very best church in the state of Wisconsin, possibly in the world. I'm sorry. But I don't care how good this church is and what's going on in revival. If you don't have a personal revival when the church is having revival, you're going to have some serious issues because you're going to dry up like a little prune in the very thing that you think you're so involved in. He'll go, and you're going to be out of church. You say, oh, come on. I do this, I do that, I teach this, I pay my tithe. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting down with Jesus in the upper room until he reveals to you. You think you're as far as you possibly could go? You think that there's anything left in God's plan for your life? Well, I guess not. I believe at 73, I got 7 more years and I'm going to be Moses' age and I'm going to start the next phase of my ministry. Praise God. I believe that. Why not? What should I believe? Well, I think I'll get a nightcap on and shuffle around it. Actually, I do the shuffle now, but praise God, praise God, praise God. I remember the story that Bishop Grant told us a while back about his encounter in the upper room, that he'd done everything he could to find land for the building that we're presently in, and he came to the end of the road, Brother Manley and himself. They searched every single piece of property on the east side of Madison. There was nothing they could afford. So he took all of his paperwork and the plans, and he decided to have an encounter with God in the upper room. So he put all that stuff on the altar, and he was crying out to the Lord. He said, I've gone as far as I can go. There's nothing in this city that we can afford. He said, and I heard a voice from heaven that said, who said you couldn't afford it? And within minutes, he began to give Pastor or Bishop Grant the plan. And when the bishop gave that plan to the 10 attorneys, the 10 attorneys, would you believe they accepted the plan? But let me ask you this. What if he said, well, you know, this is as far as we can go, and I'm just going to shelve everything, and maybe 3 or 4 years from now, I'm going to bring this back up, or when our finances get better. Hey, listen, if you're in the will of God, don't cut God off from doing what he wants to do in your life. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Get yourself secluded. Go into your closet every day and pray. But you say, you don't understand. I've got an addiction. God is the God of addictions. God is the God who can do all things. And all he's waiting for is you to make the move. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about the potential that lies within our grasp. We're always one prayer from receiving supernatural things from God. And I'm not going to quit. I'm believing that the signs and wonders we've been praying for, it's not going to take a lot of people. It's going to take one or two people who are going to break through the barrier of doubt and fear. One or two people are going to ignite a fire that's going to set this church ablaze. And people are going to come just to watch us burn in the name of Jesus Christ. People will come here from the highways and the byways, and it's going to be miraculous. it's going to be wonderful. The only thing God's waiting for is to get your heart pure enough that he could use you. Praise God. You know, the signs and wonders create another issue for apostolics or anybody for that matter. It's called pride. It's called ego, that look at God's using me. Who else would he use, I guess? I don't know. Listen, I can tell you, and I'm sure Pastor Roy or Brother Hart or anybody that's been around for long could tell you of I could think of 20 men right now who are some of the greatest preachers and teachers I'd ever heard in my life. They had an anointing that would just amaze you. They could preach and sound like they were getting a phone call from God. But every one of them fell to pride. The lust of their heart, the pride just got to them. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, the fifth verse. This is one of those scriptures that I just love. And I'm still struggling with it because I have a hard time wrapping my faith around it. But the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, your mind, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God has given us an opportunity. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our iniquities. So there's nothing that you've done that cannot be forgiven. There's nothing to keep you from receiving your supernatural act other than your own ability to focus on the God of creation in your prayer closet. Praise God. I think the book of Acts is a portrayal to the church today of taking the gospel after they were in the upper room. They couldn't contain it anymore. They had to get out into the streets. They had to get into the highways and the byways, and they couldn't contain themselves. They had to spread the good news. In Acts, the fourth chapter, the 30th verse. Now, this is what I would call an apostolic prayer meeting. Brother Russell, this is the prayer meeting that I'm longing for. After the prayer meeting, Luke writes, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, was shaken. Shaken. If God can allow an earthquake to come, you think he could shake this building? If we got in one mind and one accord, can you feature that? Can you start wrapping your head around this? Listen, this gospel, there's got to be more separating this church from the other 200 and some churches. They're all speaking in tongues now, you know. They're all talking about signs and wonders, but listen, we want a church that goes above and beyond that. We need an apostolic revival that will draw people from the highways and the byways. Listen, we can fill up this place when we have touch twice, and it's natural healing or natural cures. What could we do if we start having prayer lines that go from the pulpit down the street, down over there, and then down by the highway? It's got to happen. It's going to happen if we continue to seek the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Praise God. What would happen if the next prayer reading that Pastor Grant called, that everybody in church came? Even though it wasn't convenient for them because they worked all day, even though they were going to go out to dinner with their in-laws, you know, the devil's got a million tricks and people still fall for him. Still fall for him. I would have been there, but Aunt Maud had a birthday again. And she's got 66 aunts and 46 uncles, so she can't make it to too many prayer meetings. But listen, it's more than just an apostolic prayer meeting called by our pastor. This prayer meeting is called by the Almighty God who commanded the church to go to the upper room. Why? How long do I have to stay there until I'm endued with power from upon high. Power that will tell me, this person across the street's having a bad day. If you go and knock on their door, they will receive you. Anybody ever have that happen to them? Praise God. It happens. It happened in the book of Acts. It will happen today. Praise God. The Great Commission is the mission of our church. It's not a suggestion. The first word in this great task is go. Doesn't mean just go to church. It says go. The first two letters of the gospel is G-O. We must go if we expect to evangelize this lost world. We've got to go. We have to get inconvenienced. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We've got to get out of our boat. And, you know, we all like to know what's going to go on. But when you get out of the boat and do something that seems strange to everybody but you, because you got your marching orders from the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room, I dare anybody to stop you. You will walk on water. You will receive whatever you need to do the things God's called you to do if you seek with the right attitude and the right spirit. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I would have loved to have been in that prayer room when the building was shaken. I remember back, actually, when we were in the old sanctuary, there was a powerful, powerful move of God in one of our prayer meetings. And the visitor who was there, who was the wife of one of our members, she got so under conviction that she ran out the door, literally ran out the door. And she went to get in her car, and she looked back, and there was a ball of fire over the church. She saw it. She ran back into the church. That's what I would have done. And she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you? She might have been the only one on the planet that saw it, but she saw it. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Bible says this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The Great Commission is our mission today, and that's exactly what I want to do. Our pastor's been preaching his heart out, and I believe he's getting his orders from headquarters. You believe that? He's not coming up here preaching things that he's thinking up. He's giving us what God's giving him in prayer. He's in the upper room getting his orders. You may not like the orders. I didn't like it when he ordered the 21-day fast. I wasn't too excited about that. And I thought, well, I'm too old to do that. And God says, oh, no, you're not. You probably need it more than anybody in the church. But he's been challenging us to clean the inside of our cup, prepare our temple so God can do something with the rest of your life. Purge ourselves. Be separate from the world. Examine yourself. Am I living and walking in the Spirit? Am I doing exactly what God wants me to do, or I'm just doing what feels comfortable for me? Am I letting my light so shine that people will see me and relate to what's going on in our church? You know, we can't expect sinners to come to church. We have to take the gospel to the sinners. And this is why I'm so excited about what's going on here at Calvary Gospel Church. We have come under the direction of Pastor Roy that he wants to have 25 churches established in the near future. You say, oh, come on. It's never been done in the state of probably in the nation. Really? I wonder why. Because if you can't believe it, you can't receive it. All things are possible to those who believe. Praise God. But this is why I am so excited. Now, some of you might be pastoring a church next year. You say, oh, I'm not qualified. Who says you're not qualified? Who says that God can't unlock that housing group up there that we call the Gord Housing Group and release all that information, all those scriptures that you've studied, all these things that have been pumped into you. It's still there. Every time you've read a scripture, every time you've heard preaching, it's still up here. God can give you everything you need to perform that His perfect will. If we will not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we will prove the exact will of God for our life. Oh, I'm excited about what God's going to do here. As we read through this book of Acts, we see that the principle of the upper room never really left the apostles. They stayed in the upper room mentality. They stayed in prayer and they stayed in fasting. They were being used of God because of their commitment to prayer and fasting. The apostle Peter was released from prison. Guess how he was released? By a prayer meeting. Acts 12 and 4, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. That would be 16. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But Acts 12 and 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. You realize what that means to you? If God can spring Peter from prison, if the people didn't say, you know, we're going to have a prayer meeting, but I don't know if I can do this come Monday. I've got a job. Well, what about Peter in prison? I know that, but. No, they said, hey, God can do anything. God can take him out of the hands of Herod. He can take those chains off of them. He can get him released. Next thing we know, Peter's knocking on the door. They're praying so hard they didn't even believe he was there. Praise God. That's probably what will happen to us. But I'd rather have that happen to me than wonder if I would have just given one more prayer, one more day. How close have we all been to receiving the promises of God and gave up? And our faith just left us like an air out of a balloon. We know all things are possible, those who believe. But now I've heard people say, well, well, let me pray for you. Oh, I've already been prayed for. Yeah, but you're still walking crazy and your back hurts. Good grief. If somebody wants to pray for you, this could be the time. This could be the next prayer. Could be the one to put you over the top. Cornelius was praying and fasting and seeking God. And the Bible says that his prayers and almsgiving came up as a memorial before God. Listen, if we understand that principle, one of these days, some of you are going to break through this prayer barrier. And you're going to realize that you're so close, so close. One more prayer could put you over the top. The man that was taken down to the pool of Siloam, and he was laid there for 38 years. Did he know that that was the day? That was the day that God had chosen to heal his body? Oh my. And the lepers, I mean, you can go through the scripture and just go time after time after time. I know this, that there are people in here that are eager to be used of God. And there's many, many people here that are being used of God. But no matter where you are at tonight, there is another step for you to take. And if you stay hungry, the more you pray, the more you want to pray. And the more you pray, the more sins and weights God reveals to you. And you begin to see, this is what's been holding me back. This is why I have not reached the plateau that I believe God is. See, many of the things that God wants to do with us are way beyond our scope of thinking. They're way out here. And because they're way out there, our natural ability stands in the way. Our heart says, oh, I can't. I could never, never, never do that. But listen to me when I tell you, if you stick with this, it will happen. Praise God. Paul and Silas were delivered from prison by prayer and worship. How crazy is that? You're at Dane County Jail. They just threw you into solitary confinement. And they beat you and whipped on you. And they say, wow, this is really cool that we've been counted worthy to be punished? Let's sing some praises.
I bet my mouth, I love you, Lord.
My eyes are swollen up, my voice. But they worshiped God, and they prayed, and they thanked him to be counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. Yahoo! I just got beat up. I just had the worst thing in my life happen to me. But all things work to the good of those who love the Lord. So stick with it, partners. Stay in the upper room. I don't know. Maybe I'll just be real honest with you tonight. I know that you can lose your desire to go to the upper room because it happened to me. I mean, it happened to me, and my fire, Pastor just preached about hot or cold. Well, I was on the lukewarm side. Still come to church, still did the things that I was supposed to do, but I was running a business, I was building a home, and little by little, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the fire was just flickering. Just flickering. And I started feeling terrible. I had a terrible attitude. Now I'm still ministering, but the fire was going out. I know what the fire feels like because I had it before. And there's nothing more exciting to be used of God. There's nothing more exciting to pray with people and see them receive the Holy Ghost or being sent to a location and lay your hands upon someone and see them recover. Praise the name of the Lord. But I wasn't in that state. Now, I didn't fall back into the world. But I didn't have the passion anymore to do what I know I could do because I'd already done it before. So what do you do? I'd lost the joy of the Lord. I lost the peace that passeth all understanding. I was hanging on. None of you ever had this happen, I'm sure. But it happened to me. And then I began to think about eternity. If I go the way I'm going now, will I make it to heaven? I can fool everybody in this room, my friend, but I can't fool God. You can fool your pastor, you can fool the elders and the other pastors, but you're not going to fool God. Well, as I begin to think about it, I finally broke. I began to weep, cry, I began to repent. And as that happened, I could just feel God's mercy pulling me back to the upper room. The devil had already told me that I might as well give up. Might as well go back into the world. I wasn't doing anything in the world that I would consider. I wasn't drinking or anything like that, but my attitude was not right. I wasn't winning souls. I didn't have my heart into my ministry. I was too busy. Cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches had gotten me. But let me tell you something. When you become hungry to renew yourself, and if you decide you're going to get back into the upper room, something will happen. God will continue to draw you back to the place. And when I begin to repent, the tears of joy begin to flow down my cheeks again. My bad attitude started leaving. And the most beautiful thing is that I could hear God's voice speaking to me. Oh, I love it when he speaks to me. And he doesn't speak to me all the time, but he could if I would just submit myself. And I began to thank God for speaking to me. And I'll never forget what God told me. He said, "Son, I never stopped speaking to you. You just stopped listening." Oh, my Lord and my God. See, when you start to dry up, you're going to feel pressure from the enemy like you never have before. And when you dry up, there's only one way back, and that's the... I know now what the prodigal son must have felt like when I decided, I came to myself, I said, I got to stop this. I got to break through this. I got to start praying again. I got to start fasting again. That's what got me to where I was at. And suddenly I found myself way, way far away, drifting down the shore of eternity. My goodness, what a joy it was. As I began to weep and cry, the scripture came into my mind this, the principle of the harvest, Psalms 126:6. The Bible says that he that goeth forth and weepeth and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, the weeping begins inside of you in the upper room. But you can't contain it once you break in the upper room. You'll start weeping in a crowd of people because God will let and remind you that you're probably the only person in this crowd who's been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. You begin to feel in the pulsating life of the person next to you. You begin to feel the intense futility of the way they're living. I used to go up to the Capitol Square, and I used to sit on a bench that I could see the people coming at me. And I was just mesmerized. I was, on the inside, I was weeping because all these people, they got their kids, their family, their dog. I mean, everybody's just as happy as the world could. And there was no God in any of those people that I was aware of. They might have had a form of God, but they didn't have the truth. And if you don't know the truth, friend, I don't care how much of God you think you have into you, you need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. God is talking to you tonight. Oh my. God forbid if we stop hearing the voice of God. God forbid that we could walk through this life and never feel the heartbeat of God again. It would not be good. The fields are still white and ready for harvest. God is raising up an army right here. Calvary Gospel Church. I believe God's calling many of you into a higher dimension than you have ever been. We have more people working at Calvary Gospel Church than any church I'm aware of. But it's not enough. God has sent us a pastor after his own heart to lead us. We have a retiring bishop that poured 42 years of his life into this church. And what a beautiful place we have here to worship. What a beautiful sanctuary. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We live in a world that is crazy. We live in a land that is totally out of control. It's spinning out of control. Spinning out of control. And it's headed downward, not upward. It's not going to get better. But do you believe that we have the solution? Do you believe that this scripture, if you look at it, if my people, which are called by my name, we are mocked because we are called Jesus' name people. I will lift my hands and thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're the Jesus only group. Hey, hallelujah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father above all, through all and in you all. Yes, that's me. Which are called by name shall humble himself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Their wicked ways? What are your wicked ways? The fact that we don't have compassion and we don't have intercessory prayer flowing out of us every day for the lost and have not, we lost the war in the public schools. We lost the war in our government. We lost the war in our courtrooms. We have godless people leading a godless nation. But the wickedness on our part is we allowed it to happen. We have all the power and authority to stop it. We didn't do it. We didn't even try. I don't remember a big uprising. Maybe there was in some places. But we could have stopped it. We could have petitioned God. We could have went on a fast. We could have went into our upper rooms and prayed and fasted until God gave us exactly what we were praying for. The Bible says this, where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds more. The question tonight I ask you is this, are we willing to pray the price? Would you stand with me? pray the price until we're endued with apostolic power. You know, Pastor Roy is calling for a church-wide 21-day fast to start in 2016. You know, he's not believing everybody's going to fast 21 days, but everybody should fast something. Think how much time we have to pray if we check in our media devices at the church office and just said, I'm gonna fast from Facebook for 30 days. I'm gonna fast from emails. For Twitter, shag tag or whatever that thing is. Rag tag, I don't know. Shows you how old I am. But I'm serious with you. You need to fast not just food, but you need to fast something you're addicted to. We have a younger generation, God bless them. You took their cell phone or media away from them, they would go into shock. Their thumbs would start twittering. Amen. All I know is this, if we do our best, in 2016, God will do the rest. I said, if we do our best, God will do the rest. Praise God. Would you bow your heads with me and pray? I know this is kind of a strange Thanksgiving message, but we are involved in Thanksgiving. We do this every day. We are geared to give God thanks. See, Thanksgiving really is a spontaneous reaction to the love and adoration and things that are going on in your heart. You don't have to put a special day. It bubbles up out of you. It's the same with worship. You don't have to encourage me to worship. Come into my shower. No, don't come into my shower. Listen to me in the shower. Trust me. That's what I do. I worship the Lord. I sing praises to my dog after Peggy leaves. He runs, puts his paws up by his ears. Listen, I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. But more than that, I hope everybody's aboard with our pastor. I really pray that some of you might be teetering. Now this message, I preached part of this message before, but what I'm preaching tonight is for Calvary Gospel Church. And so someone in here needs a renewal. Someone needs to find a place to pray. You don't have to come up here if you don't want to. If you want to come up here, that's fine. But I know this. The beginning of any journey, no matter where you're at, begins on your knees. If you want to do something for God, forget about all the obstacles that keep flooding into your mind. Think about the magnificent power and anointing that God wants to put on you. We have preachers here that don't even know they're called. We have teachers that God's called to teach. We have Sunday school teachers that have an anointing on them. We have prophets and evangelists and people who have been given divine gifts of God. They're latent in your soul right now. They're there, but you have not received them because you're not ready for them. To get ready for the next dimension, you need to go to your upper room and pray and seek Him with all your heart. Praise God, Pastor.